Today's scripture reading is 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here today on this beautiful Sabbath day, especially our visitors. Warm welcome to each one of you who come to worship with us today. Heard this morning here the mention of a lady that doesn't listen to the news, doesn't get the newspaper. You want to hear all these bad things. But they're out there. The chaos that was here this week, just in the United States. Several stabbings in another school. A shooting in another place. A bus crash with death, loss of death. There's an abortion doctor that's on trial right now for killing how many babies. With all this chaos, we wonder how long this earth can go on. How can we continue to live here with all of this going on without our Lord coming? But we know with a surety that our Lord Jesus is coming again, and very soon. He's coming for his church to take them home to be with him forever. And I just pray that we are ready for that. And how do we know? Because if we trust in our God, and we have the word of truth right here, that we can learn of our God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I pray that each one of us are doing that as we see the things that are happening in the world. We have to pray for our Lord's coming. But we also have to pray for repentance of people. Pray for the people that we give the gospel message to so that they may also have the chance of eternal life that each and every one of us can have. So let's have a word of prayer. Oh, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we are your children, that you created us, and for your pleasure you have asked us to come in to sup with thee on the holy Sabbath day. We thank thee, Father, for the morning star, the rock of ages, the rose of Sharon, for the promise of his coming, and again to collect his people, to be with him forever and ever. Yes, we know that the Lord is coming a second time. He came the first time with surety, and he's coming again. I took these words from a ministerial association. And if you'd quickly look at Matthew chapter 24, familiar verses, chapter 24, verses 42 and 43. 24, 42, 43. And Jesus says here, watch thee therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. We know that the Savior's coming, second coming, is mentioned in many places in Scripture. And our scripture reading for today and the words to look at is in 2 Peter. If you turn to 2 Peter, it's chapter 3. We will be going through these verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. And here Peter is emphasizing three points. The first one is, don't forget that mockers are coming, verses 3 and 4. Peter is saying, don't be surprised when people come up to you and mock you for believing in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will come, there's no doubt about it. Maybe you've already been told that. And Peter didn't have to receive any special revelation from God to be able to make this point. Because there have always been people that has denied Jesus coming, and we know that there will be more people here in the future. that are even denying Christ's return. In the book of Psalms, David explains how his enemy said to him all the day long, "Where is your God?" Psalms 42:3. And in Psalms 115, verse 2, the nations are saying, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" In Malachi's day, the cry was, "Where is the God of justice?" And if people have always denied the second coming, we know that there's people that's going to in the future here to do that. And this is a point that Peter's trying to make here to the people that he was giving this letter, sending this letter to. And we know that the epistles of the New Testament are flooded with references of Christ's second coming. And there's some quite a few verses there, but I'll go through them, but you don't have to look them up. 1 Corinthians 11:26, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, James 5:7, 1 Peter 1:13, 1 John 3:2, Revelation 1:7, and 22:20. We know that the message of Christianity couldn't be any clearer. Our Messiah has come, and he was crucified for us as sinners. God raised him from the dead, exalted his name above all others, and seated him at his right hand, where he is sitting now. Second, don't forget that all is not the same. Verses 5 through 7 tells us that here. Peter does a wonderful job in this text, diffusing the argument of these scoffers who deny the return of Christ. Let's just read those verses 5 through 7. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." We see these here that go on. Is a direct response to the mockers that were there in his day. In the first verse, verse five, "For this they willingly are ignorant of that word of the day." You know. And it escapes their notice in some other Bibles that it says it escapes their notice. In other words, the mockers are maintaining that Paul has been the same since the days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, and right up to Peter's day. And for those people in Peter's day, that was a long time. 2,000 years before Abraham lived, they thought the same thing. And for that 2,000 years, the world remained essentially the same. In fact, their argument was even stronger for us today. We are about 2,000 years after Christ has come, and Peter wrote these words. And Peter says that all has not been the same. The flood was destroyed a long time ago, verse 6. Then Peter brought up the final judgment, which awaits all who deny Christ's second coming, verse 7. Don't forget that all is not the same. It wasn't the same in the past. God destroyed the world with a flood. It won't be the same in the future. He's going to destroy the earth in fire. We don't need to rest upon the fact that these things have been going on for 1,000 years. We look back. The world was once destroyed with water. Look ahead to the future and know that the world will be destroyed with fire. And just read some Ellen White. "Before the Son of Man appears in the clouds of heaven, everything in nature will be convulsed. Lightning from heaven, unlimited with the fire in the earth, will cause the mountains to burn like a furnace and pour out their floods of lava over villages and cities, molten masses of rock thrown into the water by the upheaval of things hidden in the earth will cause the water to boil and send forth rocks and earth. There will be a mighty earthquake and great destruction of human life. But as in the days of the great deluge, Noah was preserved in the ark that God has prepared for him. So in these days of destruction and calamity, God will be the refuge of his believing ones. This is going to happen just prior to Christ's coming, where this earth will be turned back to where it was before creation. And the seven last plagues are going to do that, turn this earth back into what it was before creation. So we know that Christ is returning soon. We have to have it promised. We have to have that written in our hearts, to have that and truly believe in it. As we see there in verse 10, it says the days of the Lord will come like a thief. It's going to be sudden, it's going to be quick, and it's going to be unexpected. And some of his people will be caught up in this also, because they're not grounded enough in the truth. Third, don't forget that God's patient. He's long-suffering. Verses 8 and 9 tells us that. And then you read verse 8, it notices it sounds almost like verse 5. Peter wrote there of the changes that the earth has experienced. And as I said, escaped the notice of the mockers, or they were ignorant of it. Here in verse 8, Peter urges this to that one fact, escape your notice. And we see that in the Greek it is used in verse 5, it means to forget, neglect, or be hidden. Peter says, don't forget that God is patient. And yes, we know that God is a patient. That is one of his characteristics, that long-suffering patience that he has for each one of us. So we do that. And in verse 8 there, Peter quotes from Psalms 90, verse 4, in which Moses wrote, 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. Isn't this the essence of patience? Patience takes little regard of the passing of time. Take two people. They set a time to meet. The one person gets there on time, and the second person is 10 minutes late. Patience being you with that person that was there on time is not rattled, because it's okay with that. They don't get rattled for being late. And then in verse 9 it says there, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. He is patient to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that God makes that promise that he will return at the surety of it. And if there is a delay, and they say there has been a delay in his return, but it's not because of weakness or inability. It's not that he's forgotten his promise. It's not that he's not incapable of fulfilling his promises. So we know it's a sign of patience. And we know that many times we ourselves need to have patience when we're dealing with our loved ones, when we're dealing with our friends, when we're out trying to give the gospel message, trying to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that coming judgment comes because of love. He's waiting for repentance. That's why the Lord has not come yet. He's waiting for that repentance. And it seems, that's the very reason that people do not believe today, because of that waiting, that time that has not come yet. And so we see that we have to take note here of the heart of God, to be able to know his heart and see the character that he has, that he wants us to have ourselves. And we told that these questions abound in all of these, and more from Ellen White. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but his forbearance has a limit, and when the boundary is passed, there is no second probation. His wrath will go forth, and he will destroy without remedy. When men being in power, oppress, and spoil their fellow men, and no earthly tribunal can be found to do justice, God will interpose in behalf of those who cannot defend themselves. He will punish for every act of oppression. No earthly wisdom can scare wrongdoers against the judgments of heaven. And when men put their trust in earthly powers instead of their maker, when they become lifted up in pride and self-confidence, God will, in his own thing, in own time, make them to be despised. And we know that that is going to be true as we see these things happening out there. But you say that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but people do perish, and people are going to perish. Is God not in control? Are these things that he cannot accomplish? And we know that that's a definite no. God is fully in control. It doesn't look like it in many times and many episodes that are happening in this world right now. But we know that he is. He destroyed the world with a flood, so we know that he can change a human heart. I pray that he's changed each one of our hearts already this morning. That's one of the reasons that we're here, besides the blessing that we will gain from being coming together to worship God as brothers and sisters. And he was, and then he's going to destroy this world with fire. And another more notes from Ellen White, destruction from earth and the sky. The hand of omnipotence is at no less for ways and means to accomplish his purposes. He could reach into the bowels of the earth and call forth his weapons, waters there concealed, to aid in the destruction of the corrupt inhabitants of the old world. Water will never destroy the earth again. But the weapons of God are concealed in the bowels of earth, which he will draw forth to unite with the fire from heaven to accomplish his purpose in the destruction of all those who would not receive the message of warning and purify their souls in obeying the truth and being obedient to the laws of God. Yes, the world is not going to be destroyed by fire, but he is still going to use water. Not by fire, I meant by water. He is going to use water along with fire. And we know that that destruction that is coming is something that we want to be on the side of God so that we will be safe as our Lord Jesus comes in all of his glory to collect his people. The dead in Christ rise first, and then we that are alive are caught up with them to meet our Lord forever and ever to be that. I pray that we do that. Romans 2:4. Says the kindness of God leads you to repentance. And is that for each one of us? Repentance, have we repented? Is God's kindness delayed his return? Has it led us to repentance? Or has it led us to continue in our sins, unwilling to repent and to cry out to the Lord? We need to do that. We need to be as Jacob. I will not let go until you bless me. And he did not. And he had received that blessing from God because of his persistence there at that time. We know, and we just pray that today that we are all found wanting. We all have repented of our sins, and we're crying out for the Lord for mercy before it is too late. We know that we have to do that. God is waiting for these saints, is waiting for his people to repent, waiting for the time that he will allow his son to come, that our Savior will stand up in the heavenly court there and say it is finished, put on his kingly robes, and come for his people in all of his glory and all of the brightness. And we are going to be able to see, all eyes will be able to see that small black cloud coming. And as it gets bigger, it becomes whiter and whiter until we see our Lord in all of the light that he has, with the retinue of angels with him, all of heaven, empty for the space of an hour. So we just pray that each one of us are ready, and that's my prayer for today, that each one of us will be there to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee that the dark valleys that we have now in our lives that we had the Lord Jesus Christ with us. We had the Holy Spirit with us to comfort us, to guide us. And we thank thee that there will be no dark valleys when our Lord comes for his people. We pray that we are ready. We pray that we are able to bring others to Jesus Christ, to the realization that they need something, and it is the Lord Jesus. We pray that our work will be for thee, and it will be bring glory to thy name, not to us. There's no glory to us, Father, but it is the privilege and the thankfulness that we have of being able to be your servants, to be your representatives upon this earth. So as we go from this place, I pray that we will be truly your representatives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.